Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Living Power Life, the radio show. And it's a new year, 2013. Happy New Year to everyone. It's January the 3rd, 2013. Can you believe that? We got through 12-12-12. We got through 12-21-12. And we're in a new year. So wish everyone prosperity, love, peace, health, and, of course, power. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about some resources that I've added to my blog. And livingpowerlife.blogspot.com is the way you can reach it. Or you can hit me up on Facebook. This is Alondis Lake. And I put some resources out there for you guys who might be starting the new year and looking for resolutions that you have made, looking to fill those resolutions and honor those. And one of them might be that you're going to go to the gym. One of them might be that you're going to live healthier. I have the radio show that I did maybe about 6 months ago about how you can, some of the things you can think about when you're considering a gym, some of the things that you might want to know ahead of time, and what it's like to walk. I walk you through it, walk you through walking in the door for the first time. And I also have added a resource page where I have links to articles and will update them regularly for books and interviews, videos about different topics, anywhere from finding herbs or finding a substitute for sugar, for a sweetener, to sore muscles and what your sex dreams might mean. So if you haven't, visit our blog. By all means, check it out. Today I'm going to talk about what I'm calling my 12-month look in the mirror. And if you have been following along with me over the last year, then you probably know what I'm talking about. If you've been following the Power Life recipe for health and well-being and meditating and keeping your dream log and keeping track of your thoughts in meditation and confronting some of the things that come up when you're pushing yourself right at the edge physically in the gym and things, you know what I'm talking about. If you're new, if you're a new listener, welcome. And you're going to find out what happens with this process that I'm sharing with people. And the main thing to think about as I talk is intimacy. What it means to be intimate and what it means to miss that and search for it. Because I see many, many, many choices and places where people promise intimacy and promise to find the right person to live with or to marry or to fall in love with. You can find that information, if you can call it that, information anywhere. It's on billboards. You can't get away from it. It's, if you watch television, it's commercials, promise of love, promise of intimacy. What they don't tell you and what I have learned and share with you is the intimacy is hard work, and it starts with you. Because if you're not able to look at yourself with all your flaws, with all your strengths, with all your talents and all your shortcomings, there's no way that kind of intimacy you can't find with another person. In other words, intimacy means that you are able to be with someone period. And if you can't be with yourself, if there are parts of you, aspects of you, that you deny, then you can't be with another person. Because you don't have the capacity to be intimate. And I'm going to give you an example from my life, a real life example, of how I come to this. Just recently, I ended the year rereading a book of Octavia Butler, the book that I had read was one that I read years ago, and the name escapes me, but it's in my blog post. You can find out there. Just go to my blog post. And I was really captivated, interested in her talent and her ability to weave a story and develop characters into these living beings that were almost like they were in my living room. And I picked that book up again and read it again years later and had a different reaction to her story. She touched me intimately, and I felt touched by her words. And that made me think about Stephen King, who is another one of my favorite authors. And there was a time when I put his book down because I couldn't read his stories. After reading everything that he wrote, I couldn't read him for a while because I felt uncomfortable, was how I described it. I didn't really know why I was uncomfortable, but I just felt uncomfortable. And going back and looking and comparing the two I realized that I was uncomfortable because Stephen had the same ability to touch me with his words in an intimate way. And I didn't feel good about it because I wasn't intimate with myself. I didn't know myself, so I couldn't stand or tolerate that kind of offer of intimacy. And I say this because there are a lot of us, I was one until very recently, looking for intimacy, but also running from it at the same time. Because we don't know who we are. We don't know how to be intimate. So we run from it. We're afraid of it. And we draw people to us who are also afraid of intimacy, and we get entangled within relationships that are unfulfilling because we're all looking for the intimacy that we crave, but we aren't getting it because we don't have it with ourselves first. So part of what I have learned, as clumsy as I am about talking about it right now, because it is very new for me, is the fact that I really had the last 12 months to look at myself and to understand myself, period, without putting myself into a context or putting myself in comparison to someone else, or seeing myself in relation to a particular relationship or a particular job or a particular status. That is what I'm talking about. And that is a difficult thing to do, but it's not impossible because we are taught to see ourselves in the context of what's around us and who's around us. In fact, I've done shows in blogs about learning about yourself in the context of the relationships and the people that you have near you. Well, this is the next step. When you look at the relationships around you and gain insight into yourself, the next step is to be with yourself and accept who you are so that you can know who you are, so that you can become a better person and move in the direction that you want to go. And from that, once you go through that difficult process, you're then ready to begin to open up to the possibility of being intimate with another person. And one of the things that I would like you to think about when you think about intimacy, there's a lot of what I call false intimacy, the false promise of intimacy out there. And part of it is sexual. We have a culture in our country where you can have sex with someone without even, you can be physically very close. I don't think you get any closer than having sex without, I mean, that's pretty close physically, without any kind of attachment emotionally. So we can have this intimate, ongoing sometimes relationship that is purely physical, but it's not emotional or spiritual, and we're not coming together on that level and sharing intimate moments that way. That is the intimacy that we all crave, because sex and physical touch and physical alone will not fill that need. It can ease it somewhat. It can be a distraction, but it doesn't fill the need to be intimate with ourselves and then another. See, that's the step that we all skip, and I had skipped it over and over myself. The basic need, the biggest need that we have, is to be intimate with ourselves. And that means learning who you are with all of the parts and aspects, everything about yourself, without blaming, without all of those distractions, without saying, oh, poor me, oh, I wish I had better, whatever. Just knowing who you are and accepting that person, who you are right there in the moment. Accepting yourself and not making excuses for yourself, not blaming anyone else for who you are or yourself for who you are, not feeling guilty, knowing that you're not perfect, knowing that there are things that you will change and that you will need, that you already need to change, knowing that, but also accepting yourself right where you are. That is the intimacy that we all crave, because you will be completely connected with yourself, completely connected with who you are, and completely accepting of who you are. You won't need to be accepted by anyone else, because you accept yourself. You won't need to be connected to anyone else, because you are connected to yourself. You won't need to lean on anyone else, because you see your own weaknesses and you can work to change those and to improve them. You won't need to be celebrated by anyone else, because by knowing who you are and taking the time and the energy and the focus to accept who you are is celebrating you. You are celebrating yourself. So you don't need any of that. You don't crave that. From there, you can open and live your life and live open to the possibility of connecting with someone else and building a life that is mutually beneficial and loving. It will also open up the door and you'll learn who you actually really want. For instance, I'll use myself as an example. I dated and married and was in long-term relationships, four actually. But I never really thought about the kind of person that I really wanted to be with, because I had never really taken the time to really know what kind of person I was. I knew some of what I valued. I knew what I liked. I knew what I called my type. I knew that kind of thing. I knew what turned me on, still do. But I didn't know what kind of person I was, so I couldn't know what kind of person I wanted to be with. That will change when you go through this process and find the intimacy with yourself, become intimate and comfortable with that intimacy with yourself. You will learn the kind of person that you are, and you will learn the kind of person that you would want to be with, that would be someone that you could build with. I was looking at the news not too long ago, and they had a little blurb about how you find love. And they were having fun with it, and one of the things they said was that they were kind of iffy about whether or not opposites attract, and you should try to find someone closer to who you are and what you like. For instance, if you don't like to dance, and to look and to find, try to have a long-term relationship with someone who loves to dance, that's an automatic conflict. That's true, but I also think that sometimes there's a fine line, like with anything. Sometimes it's a good thing to be with someone who's not exactly like you, because then you stretch. For instance, if someone likes to dance and they would like to learn but they don't know, and then they find someone who loves dancing, then that's a way that one person can stretch and learn something that they don't already know. So there's a fine line. But the main thing is learning who you are will teach you who you want and who you do not want on a more than a physical level and superficial level. I'm talking about love relationships, but it also spills over, starts in friendships. It starts in friendships because that's the easiest between the two, to develop a friendship rather than love. When you know who you are, you know what kind of friends you want around you. And you may find that as you go through this process, or you may have already found if you have gone through the process and followed me, you may already know that a lot of the people that you called friends will not fit that category for you. As you learn who you are and as you develop and push yourself to find your own center and build your own life around you rather than around other things. So the thing to remember, among other things, is remember that I'm not talking about putting yourself first, but I am talking about knowing yourself first. There's a difference between the two. A lot of us resist focusing on our needs and focusing on learning who we are because it's too easy to mix that up, that we're being selfish, that we should be, especially with the economy the way it is and so many things that are going on, the bad things that are going on in the world, and people are doing not so nice things. It's easy to say, well, I'm just going to put myself back and focus on this, or I don't feel right taking so much time with my own thoughts. But that's how you become a stronger person, so that you can go out and do good, do the good that you want, without being eaten alive or feel as though you're eaten alive. I did work with people who were living with HIV and AIDS, and this was before I knew my center and before I went through the process of knowing myself in an intimate way. I was quickly burned out with that work, because there's so much need, and there are other ways to get burned out. There are other places where you can just, the need is endless, and you don't have the center, so you just constantly give and give and give. So resist the hesitancy to focus on yourself. Resist that, because what I'm talking about is not being selfish. It's not, like I said, putting yourself first. It's knowing yourself first. And that means that you will take time on a regular basis for the rest of your life, because we are constantly changing. You will take time to know who you are and to direct your progress, to claim your power in your life, your power to create yourself and recreate who you are and redirect and to direct the direction that you want to go, and to draw people and experiences and energy that you want in your life, rather than just people who happen to cross your path and catch your attention for the moment. So one of the things I'm hoping that you will do is check out my blog. Again, it's livingpowerlife.blogspot.com. And keep contacting me, those of you who have, and let me know how you're doing and what's going on in your life. And if you find anything there that you can use, and I know you will, pass it on and let other people know about it. Because by sharing, I believe this, sometimes it's hard to share because people take advantage of it. But the more you know yourself, the more difficult it is for someone to take advantage of you. But sharing can change the world. We change the world through sharing what we know, what we have learned, what we are struggling with, what we have accomplished. That's how we change the world, by sharing. So I hope everyone has, again, a prosperous, prosperous year. And look for me. I'll be around. Until next time.